Welcome to episode 21 of the Read It Any Podcast for NerdAppropriate.com.
Hi. Here we are.
We have a guest.
21 episodes.
We have Derek here with us today.
Yep. We do. Derek is a very special man.
He is here according to the show notes because he once got a cyst from playing so many video games.
That's the only reason we have him on. Actually, the show notes say he once played so many games that he had an ass cyst. True story.
Not a true story, but we'll let it slide.
Explain. No, I'm just kidding.
We're going to spend a half an hour about your ass cyst.
Sweet.
You showed me a picture of it, I think, or the actual ass cyst itself, because I know I've seen it, and it would look like a bullet wound.
That was after the surgery.
It was after.
Yeah,
okay,
that
I
was
the
picture. Yeah, I don't have that picture anymore. You should have kept it.
You should have kept it. It was horrid.
Should have.
That's what happens if you game too much, guys.
That's the price of that $50,000 gamer store.
You just heard a new PSA tonight, right?
So for those unfamiliar, this is the guy who is the only guy we know with a higher gamer score than Scott.
Yes.
Yeah. What is it now?
50 what?
Almost 52.
Sometimes you simultaneously compel me to play more and then less.
Yeah.
Like when the scores get closer, I'm like, oh, I gotta play more. And then when I see you're like 2,000 ahead, I'm like, okay, I can take a break until you start doing something again. Because that's untouchable, you know.
We were having a conversation earlier today, and I was like, well, I'm like, Scott's really close to you, but I'm like, there's one big difference, Derek. You don't play crap that you don't want to play to inflate your gamer score. You actually play games that you like.
You finish them, though.
But you do everything you can to 100%.
Yeah, he does.
I try to.
Yeah.
It's fun for me.
And at that point, it's fun for you, but at that point, you are just achievement whoring, right? I mean,
it's more like a
is there really a reason to continually play a game over and over until you 100% and, like, insane beat it and stuff? Or
it is a little OCD.
Yeah, well, I will play Mass Effect 1 and 2 again. I'll probably play Fallout again.
Right.
Both of them. I mean,
even though you've already 100%ed.
Yeah.
Okay.
I enjoy the games thoroughly.
For real enjoyment.
Yeah.
For actual enjoyment.
I feel that the developers put those achievements in there for a reason, so.
For crazy people like you.
Yeah.
You are the only person that I know. I remember you called me and you're like, hey, I just 100%ed Fallout 3. And like an hour later, like, and I 100%ed Fallout New Vegas in the same day.
Wow.
It was like, because those games, to 100% those, you have to like.
Well, that's kind of a loaded thing. Because I had like one character that was at a point where I could get the remaining like two or three achievements that I had in Fallout 3. So.
Right.
Did you,
Fallout New Vegas was pretty intense though, because that's four playthroughs.
Did you legit do the Fallout 3 ones? Because I totally did not. I cheated.
The only one that I didn't legitimately get was like the level 30, like middle karma one. I had a character that was at level 29.
Yeah.
From an old save that was like extreme good, and you can take the one perk that mills it out, and I just did that.
Because
I'm like, you know what? I don't really want to play a third character.
I did the same thing.
To do just this, I'm going to get, and then I'm going to play through again and enjoy it.
I'm actually playing 3 again right now.
It's a fun game.
Yeah, I really liked it.
The thing about that one is it doesn't stop working every 2 hours.
See, I haven't done New Vegas yet. So.
Did you know, for I guess you guys and listeners or whatever, but at a GameStop, I think they're selling New Vegas for $360
for
$20.
That was a $20 now?
$20.
Jeez.
That's awesome.
I didn't know.
And somebody told me that Borderlands, the Game of the Year edition, was also $20 at GameStop.
Yeah.
You can download Borderlands on Xbox Live for $20 right now.
Wow, that's awesome.
The whole game. Pretty
cool.
So good stuff. Well, we're glad you're here. You are one of our most loyal viewers.
Because I like video games.
Because he likes video games, yeah. And so we got a lot of stuff to talk about. It's going to be, I think, a good episode. 21. It's been a long road. I'm pretty damn excited we've gotten this far. Yeah. We have a shit ton of news, as well as some reviews tonight. And the first piece of news is actually something I just stumbled across right before we started, so I just added it.
Oh, I actually do know about this. I can talk about this first one.
Awesome, because I don't know anything about it.
I don't know much. I just read the news piece on
Facebook. Okay, good. But supposedly there is a Mass Effect anime that is in the works. It is by Funimation, who's doing the Dragon Age anime.
Right.
It's actually already in production, and it's obviously EA and BioWare are sanctioning it. And it's going to be coming out in 2012. I guess right after Mass Effect 3 drops, they're going to drop the anime. And what it focuses on, we don't really know. I was just kind of curious what you guys thought about
it. The timeline is after Mass Effect 3 comes out?
I don't
out?
Know.
That's weird.
It I'd rather is, the anime Mass comes 4. Out afterwards. You'd rather it be Mass Effect yes. 4?
Do we know if...
what more games?
Do we know if it's going to be a theater release or direct to Blu-ray?
It's direct to video.
It's oh, direct okay. to video, yeah. And what, and download.
What else has Funimation done? Like what?
They do a lot of...
They do a lot of the...
The Japanese stuff.
I yeah. thought it sounded familiar.
I thought it was kind of weird. Anime days. It was weird that they went with an anime for this, because to me...
Different styles.
Yeah, to me, the Mass Effect games are so, so Western. Like they are like the right. apex of Western gaming, you know? And it just seems weird that they would go with that style.
But I mean, Batman, the Batman movie before the second one came out,
yeah.
they did those, like... Aeon Flux, you know, style
mm-hmm.
anime that came out about Batman. There was like 10 of them. The Matrix did one too.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't remember who did that. It might
be like
Halo
Legends as well.
Yeah. Same
Legends.
Thing. It's like a 6 shorts
yeah.
essentially strung together as like one movie
that's
that you can
yeah.
watch.
Probably what I'm assuming is going to happen is we should
have a feeling,
some
yeah.
characters done by different animation teams.
Funimation is was founded in Fort Worth, Texas.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Do they do importing, or...?
They were the producers of Dragon Ball Z.
That's probably where I know the name.
Let's see here, what else they do? Yeah, they're pretty heavily out of Texas, it looks like. They haven't really...
Fort Worth.
...done too much else. They licensed Full Metal Alchemist.
So that's what they did. They bring Japanese stuff over
yeah,
and redub it, and they...
Yeah, that's what
it
looks like.
Out. Well, that's cool. I mean, I'm excited about it. Obviously, like, I'm, you know, like, a lot like you guys, anything Mass Effect, I will
consume
devour.
It.
Yeah.
Do you hear there was another fourth novel coming out as well?
Really?
Yeah, I think I just read that. Let me see.
You've read that, John.
I haven't read the third one.
Have you read them all, Sam?
I haven't read the third one yet, either.
Yeah, it looks like they bring...
yeah. They're good, though. They fill gaps. You know
they
what I
do.
Mean?
I didn't love the second one.
Of which ones? Sorry.
The Mass Effect novels.
Oh, yeah, I didn't read any
of them. The second one really reminded me... I mean, I guess both of them kind of reminded me of some of the Star Wars, like, EU novels. I mean, like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, if you like that, that's... I mean...
They're good. I just... What bothered me is the events of Mass Effect were only kind of hinted at.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, while Cerberus was, like, pretty much the main antagonist, it still... was almost like too loosely connected for me.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
But
so
I mean, that's kind of
book.
What like some of the
yeah.
expanded universe stuff is like too, though.
Yeah,
know?
But I love like all the Mass Effect characters are just so great, and then all of a sudden there's like, what was his name, Hemdale, and like there's all these new characters.
Yeah,
just kinda, like,
but I feel like it fleshes out things that would never make it into the video game.
That's true.
Like stuff that you never get to see.
It does. It makes the universe like the Migrant Fleet. I know like more about the Migrant Fleet
right?
than anybody.
So like
half the book was just describing like.
Right. So when you get to that point in Mass Effect 2 with Tali, you're kind of like, wow,
yeah,
I actually
you know,
feel like I know what's going on
yeah,
here.
Yeah, that's very
yeah.
true. Yeah.
Yeah, fourth novel is going to come out this fall.
Cool.
Yeah.
Another one.
Mm hmm.
They're good. Deception. They're good. I'm all about reading books tied to video games. And we talked about this the other week.
Yeah.
We talked about this the other week how, like, people make fun of you for, like, reading things like that, but some of them are so good. They're just so good.
No worries, man.
So does anyone not want to see a Mass Effect anime come out?
I don't want to see a bad Mass Effect anime.
It won't be bad though. I mean, like
I tried watching the Halo Legends, and some of them were decent, and some of them were pure crap.
But that's the same way with the Batman and the Matrix ones.
The Matrix one, the Animatrix.
Yeah,
yeah, that was. I mean, it's the same thing, and like I just don't want there to be the pure crap. Like I.
Yeah, it's that fight though between like more content. Or just not having it, in the, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And we're totally assuming that it's going to be 6 shorts. It could very well be just a short anime of some
yeah.
sort that
yeah.
they put together. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have no idea. It just seems like that's what's popular to do, which is put together a string of
mm-hmm.
of smaller tales. Well, how did Dead Space do that? Theirs.
It wasn't really the. I don't think
that
it
was
the same
story.
Animation company, but yeah, there was
the,
like
well, the first one,
the like the. There was like 2 DVDs, right?
Deadfall?
I saw the first one, yeah.
I just saw the Blu-ray in Target the other day, the new one, and the
that
new releases.
That was like weird anime, like...
It was...
Horror porn kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where
it
was like
it
just
really?
Overly bloody, like, ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, I get the stories confused because the stories to Dead Space are always the same. You know, it's like everything's fine, then everything's not fine, and then everybody dies. And you're like, cool, I got that. I had fun watching that.
I can see that. I like Dead Space 2 so much more than 1. I'm just so...
It's a different...
You know what it is? It's the whole, like... we've talked about this a lot on the podcast, but the whole idea of having, like... I hate the silent protagonist, like the... You know, you like the empty shell of a character, you know? And
the breathing wasn't enough for you?
No, it wasn't. In the second game, when he talks, he has a personality, I'm like, okay, this is fun. That's sort of my problem. Well, not to talk about Crysis yet, but that was my problem so far with Crysis, is he doesn't talk. He's just a... He's a Gordon Freeman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so the other thing is not... It's probably going to take us about a minute to talk about, but I just kind of wanted to get... Because no one knows shit about it yet. It's Capcom's mysterious countdown clock. So Capcom supposedly is releasing some huge bit of information, and no one knows what it is, but it's April 12th is the day that they're going to unlock this information. And right now... All there is a countdown clock that makes this kind of weird, this weird sound. And we'll go ahead and, there we go, we already put the link up. And all that is just kind of counting down, and it shows an image of a silhouette of a dragon. And all it says is DD.
Double Dragon.
That's what I said. Double Dragon.
The wrong company.
Yeah. It's not Capcom, right?
No, that's Konami.
I think it's Konami. Yeah. But what do you guys think about countdown clocks in general?
I think they're stupid.
You know what?
They're obnoxious.
Yeah. And I saw one that was something called Duty Related.
Yeah.
And I got really excited because I thought it might be a continuation of the Modern Warfare story with Makarov.
Yeah.
Whatever that guy is. And it ended up being that it's a fan live-action film.
What really? Was, which one?
There was, I think it's findmakarov.com. It's for a Call of Duty action movie, and I thought it was going to potentially be a third game.
Yeah.
In the Modern Warfare setting, that was.
What would DD be?
Though? I don't know. That's the thing. Like, we
I don't know if I know Capcom well enough to know.
My
what DD would be.
Original thoughts were wrong.
But it was just about big boobs.
I said the Dungeons and Dragons Daggerdale that's coming out, but that's not. It's a different.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be anything as gimme as like the initials are actually DD. I think it's going to be, you know, you have to look deeper. And think
but what
like,
if that's something day?
Like Doomsday.
What if it only needs to be one D?
That's right.
That we're trying
that's
to
true.
Figure out here.
Like, yeah, that's true.
Day do you think, day? I mean, like, well, it's, I mean, just to simplify it, do you think this is like a new IP or just like
I would
a,
love to see a new, like, legitimate, like, Capcom, Japanese Capcom IP. Because, like, we talked about this before. They've been farming out.
Oh, okay.
You know, like, Dark Void and, you know, all these new Capcom titles aren't really Capcom games.
Right.
They, you know, their internal studio hasn't really done anything in a while other than Street Fighter and Marvel vs. Capcom. So it's like, it'd be nice to see them giving 110% to an actual new IP.
Dragon Punch Day.
Well, also, I was thinking, Dragon Punch the game.
Just more Street Fighter.
Yeah.
You know, part of me actually really thinks that Double Dragon would be kind of awesome.
Oh, like,
I don't think they were Capcom, though.
I think they were Konami.
Double Dragon is getting remade as an 8-bit downloadable game.
Is it?
Yeah, and it looks awesome.
Hoping you're going to say movie.
No, that would be awesome as well.
Another Devil
Dragon. You know what I was thinking, though? I was thinking there hasn't really been...
oh my god, it was a Taito, the T-A-I-T-O.
Taito.
Wow. So maybe Capcom does own them now. It's entirely possible.
That'd be crazy. But then the logo doesn't really look too Double Dragon-y. If you look at the site, it looks definitely kind of.
But it is a dragon.
It is.
I'm afraid to make anything happen over here.
Yeah.
Oh, you're all right. It's when they do.
But yeah, my idea. I was just thinking about today. I haven't played a really good Japanese RPG in I don't know how long because they're all sort of at this point they all go to the handheld systems, and I don't play a lot of handheld RPG games at all. I'd love to see a really good adult. Like, not like tentacle porn adult, but like adult Japanese RPG. Because when's the last time one came out?
What do you mean, like not androgynous characters? I mean, like, what do you?
I mean,
you want like a Wild Arms or like a Chrono Trigger or something?
Well, I mean, like, okay, so in the old days, the best RPGs in the world were from Square,
right?
And then, you know, in my opinion, recently, the past 10 years, Square's just kind of like, they've been on autopilot, and they haven't really...
Yeah.
All this innovation really hasn't led anywhere, and the games have gotten worse and worse.
And I feel like, man, like, every time you turn around, there's, like, another Atlas RPG, like, they're just, like, shoveling those out.
Yeah, yeah.
They must have people that just draw characters all day, and they're, like, slapping on the game, you know, here
we
go.
I totally agree. And I would just love to see a really, like, if Capcom could, like, focus and just give us an amazing, really deep RPG from, I mean, there are, you know, really talented bunch of guys, but... It just seems like I said, they're sort of on autopilot. So I'd love to see something really deep from them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Square, ironically, owns Taito now. Or Taito, however you say
interesting.
It.
Interesting.
I'd say Taito.
Probably Taito, right? Taito sounds funny.
So what we need to see is a...
Oh, you were using logic.
We need to see a Double Dragon RPG is what we really need.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
How
Double Dragon
work?
RPG.
Like Dragon Age
first half of the game.
I agree. I almost
it'd be like Jade Empire.
We've talked about this a little
bit.
We've talked about this a little bit that I actually kind of like long for a good Japanese like
we were talking about
Chrono
Predator,
Trigger
yeah.
and stuff like that. Like something just like that comes out that grabs me and makes me want to play it a couple times. You know, and I don't even care what system it's on. It could be Game Boy. It could be PSP. It could be the freaking Xbox. Like.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it's not PS3, because I don't own one right now.
I feel the same way. I just would prefer it be on a system that I own.
Yeah. Like, if just something decent came out, that's all.
I don't know if Valkyria Chronicles fits into that, because it's more of a strategy tactics game, but
I think that was
the last one that I really enjoyed.
That was definitely the last Japanese.
And
like,
it's beautiful looking, too.
Mm-hmm. That was in the fact that, you know, that game didn't make as much money as it should have, and then... The next two sequels are...
There are two?
Well, they're coming out with three, and it's on handheld as well. So it's like... I played the second one on PSP, and it was fun, but it wasn't like...
It takes place in high school, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Something ridiculous like that.
The stakes are definitely not as high.
Yeah, you definitely feel like you're a part of the world,
mm-hmm.
and it's something... I mean, the fact that it's like a weird, twisted World War II Europe...
I loved it.
...kind of theater
with like
magic.
Very, yeah.
What is this?
Valkyria.
Oh,
you
love it.
Yeah.
I saw you play
it. I watched you play it. It made me want to play, but I don't have a PS3 or a PlayStation.
Yeah. It's portable. I think you guys would really like it. It's it was the kind of game that like Christina, she just watched the whole game because it's really pretty to
it
watch.
It looks like watercolor.
Mm-hmm.
Tactics are really turn-based strategy game.
Oh my god!
There's a PS3 game for this too. It's not just
It's PS3 and. All right, so moving to next things, we had a bunch to go.
Yeah, we do have a lot to do.
I'm gonna play a video real quick, and when we come back, this desk is gonna be tipped slightly this way.
So yeah, that was the teaser from WonderCon of Clone Wars Season 4, and there was a particular character in that teaser.
I don't know if you caught it.
Oh, I watched it.
Okay.
He sent it to me.
Okay.
He told me about it.
Yeah. A particular character that is a very close friend of Scott's.
Yeah.
Scott, tell us about your... I don't think we've actually really talked too in-depth about your love of a certain obscure Star Wars character.
Yeah, so, like, Admiral Ackbar is the character in question that we're talking about here.
I think we've talked about it a little, because after Celebration, we talked about him meeting Tim.
Oh, meeting Tim.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, in essence, the story is that... there was a period of time, I think, when Attack of the Clones came out and all of the action figures on the blue cards came out,
mm-hmm.
where I was really just collecting, like, everything I could get my hands on.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to a point where I was like, this is really expensive, and, you know, like, this is not healthy, I'm going to go broke, this is terrible, you know? And I kind of decided that I was just going to collect one thing. And I decided that...
Well, that was recent. That was super recent.
Yeah, but, like, before... I mean, my favorite character was always Admiral Ackbar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At a certain point, I was like, I want to collect Star Wars, but I don't want to get everything, and I don't want to be, like... I don't want to feel like I need to buy everything.
I remember it hit a point where you had, mostly due to us, you had, like five different Lego, like, Star Wars Lego boxes that had not even been opened yet.
Yeah.
That were just, like, sitting in the corner, because it was, like, he just would get, like, every year Christmas and birthday would come along, and it was just, like, here's more Star Wars stuff, and it was, like, I mean, all of it was cool stuff, but it was just tons of Star Wars stuff. It was,
like,
ridiculous.
In the early college years, I had, like, two cardboard cutout standees.
Yeah.
Like, I had, like, all the Legos. I had, like, 30 action figures.
The Legos were, like, the go-to gift.
Yeah,
for him. It was like
I would build them.
Star Wars
I would build them and just occupy bookshelves, and like I just ran out of space.
Yeah.
I was like, I gotta pick something that's not so
but
prolific.
The question I don't think I've ever asked is, why Akbar? Because that's like being like, I love Grand Moff Tarkin.
Yeah, well,
you know what I mean? It's like
yeah,
a random...
Well, the thing is, I mean, if you think about it, like, he might not be the hero, quote-unquote, but he's in charge. You know what I mean? Like, he commands a fleet. He
yeah.
sits in a chair. Like, I always thought the chair was cool, that he could just
yeah.
be mobile.
A pretty cool chair.
And, like, he kind of doles out justice from the chair, you know?
Yeah, it's true. He's...
I mean, so, like, although he's only given... It's like Boba Fett. Like, why do people like Boba Fett?
That's true.
He has, like, a very limited presence in the movie.
Akbar is sort of, like, the thinking man's character, too. Because he's, like...
Yeah.
You know, he's an admiral. He's in charge of all the ships.
Yeah.
He's a fish.
He identifies the traps.
He's a fish, man.
He identifies the traps.
He is a fish.
He identifies the traps.
There we go.
And so, like, I think in my head, even before I read any of the novels, I kind of built up this, like... This like legend of him in my head, where it's like, well, he's the admiral, so he must have gone through some shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like growing up to like get him to this point to go through battles and stuff, and I was just like, that's what I'm gonna follow, you know.
Speaking of going through some shit,
yeah.
Clone Wars season 4, the teaser for those that just watched it and for those that haven't seen it yet, shows a young Admiral Akbar in some sort of battle armor. Which
yeah,
looks like he's leading a squad. Looks like kind of underwater, maybe. So that's pretty exciting. They're bringing in a lot of classic characters. We did actually see this season 3, you saw a young Grand Moff Tarkin.
Yeah.
You saw Chewbacca, and of course all the other characters that they keep, you know, bringing back. But it's pretty cool. You know, it's pretty cool that they're bringing these characters
yeah,
in.
Yeah, sadly, since I got rid of cable, I haven't been able to watch. I'm going to have to wait for the DVDs this
for
fall.
Three?
Them and HBO, man, can't release stuff on Amazon or, like...
Yeah.
They released the episode on their website for, like, a day or two after it airs, and then it's gone.
Kevin and I Bitfrost is in our chat room. I, like, randomly ran into him last night when Melissa and I were out, and we talked about that a little bit. It's like HBO, like, he wants to watch...
Game of Thrones. Dynasty Game of Thrones.
But it's like, you can't unless you're going to, you know... Like, I won't say what he said to me because it'll get him in trouble. But it was basically like, if you want to watch right now, you can't, quote unquote, cannot watch it. You know, you can, but not legally. And you can't buy it on Amazon. You can't, you know, you have to wait till the DVD comes out. And even when the DVD comes out, they still don't release it digitally. It's like,
and it's always
like,
really
what is going on? Yeah, and their DVDs are crazy pricey. And
that's HBO. Just
yeah, I mean, it's HBO who makes phenomenal content and just doesn't want to release it.
Yeah.
But
the other little bit of Clone Wars news is not necessarily a leak, but Katie Sackhoff on her Twitter feed the day before yesterday is about to go overseas to do some press and stuff like that. And for those that don't know who Katie Sackhoff is, Starbuck from Battlestar Galactica. She Starbuck.
She made coffee.
Not the.
I've only seen 15 minutes of Battlestar Galactica.
Oh really?
So sad.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. You love Starbuck from the new Battlestar, but she just completed doing a lot of voice work for the new season of Clone Wars, so we don't know what she's going to be yet, but we do know that they brought her in, and so it's cool a lot of the talent they've been bringing.
They bring in some interesting talent. Like,
yeah,
I heard Greg Proops once was one of the voices.
Yeah, Seth Green does a lot of different characters.
Mm-hmm.
Liam Neeson just came back and did Qui-Gon. Now you have Katie Sackhoff, and... John Favreau does. He did the leader of the Mandalorians.
Huh.
So they bring in a lot of like real like hardcore A-list.
Not a Mandalorian if you look at him in real life.
No, he doesn't. No, his Mandalorian character is pretty badass too.
I thought I'd hit this point real quick just because we talked about this a bunch last week, and that is there was rumor a while ago and it just got confirmed. Vizio's releasing a slate of 3D TVs.
Okay.
They start at 32 inches. They go to, I think, 42 is the biggest they're releasing right now. The 32 is only $499, and the 42 is only $699. It's a 3D, 1080p, 240Hz. I mean, LCD. This is like a real deal Vizio TV, $699 with 3D enabled. And comes with two pairs of glasses.
How? What?
Because it's Vizio. That's how Vizio does everything.
Yeah,
they come in and undercut people.
Interesting.
But do you think... Do you think this is the... I mean, I'm considering it.
I mean, at that price...
I don't have a TV. It's
at
like,
that price,
yeah.
I would try it. I would go to the store, at least, and look at it. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to wear more glasses.
How do you? Do you have to layer them?
Yeah.
Does it work?
Well, yeah, it does. I mean, it's uncomfortable. But...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we got to try some of that stuff at PAX, and I just, you know...
Yeah. I still feel like we focus too much on gaming with 3D, because I don't really give a shit about gaming in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
I still feel like I would watch a movie in 3D. I have no reason to... Why if there's a good 3D movie, if it's Piranha or Avatar or something, well, you know, as jokey as that movie is, if it's something that got made for 3D, I don't know why I wouldn't, if my TV does it, why wouldn't I get the 3D version, the Blu-ray, and watch it there, you know?
Well, I saw Avatar 2 and 3D, just because I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Aaron and I saw it 3D, and I felt that I feel that the 3D is just more distracting.
It's interesting. It didn't really do that.
Well,
to
it's just to me, like I like to observe everything in the screen, and I feel like the 3D focuses.
Yeah, they
on
do tell
things.
You that you're supposed to focus
well, yeah,
on
yeah.
the action,
and
with
I don't.
3D.
That's not how I watch a movie. I like to observe everything as a whole picture, and it bothers me. I mean, if technology changes, then maybe who knows? But,
sure.
Right now.
But I feel like the kicker is always, it's with everything with technology, is the kicker is entry point.
Oh, yeah.
And if there's no entry point for, you know, common, you know, people here, then it's just never going to take off. And 3D TVs for a very significant, until now, essentially, for a decent TV that enables 3D, it was, you know, $1,500 and up to get a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And like now they're saying $700 for a 42 inch. I mean, for me, who does not have a high def TV right now, I think I would almost be dumb not
that's
getting
a compelling
that TV.
Reason
like,
to do it, yeah.
You know, even though, like, because really, even just a 42 inch TV, as cheap as it might get, is maybe $500.
Like, I mean, if you have, like I was going to say, if anything.
And it's Vizio Internet Apps enabled.
Right, so if anything...
It's basically like their top of the line.
If anything, you just
line,
have a $700 TV.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Okay,
if,
awesome.
If I never use a 3D, I still have a 1080p, 240 hertz.
Do you know
like,
what the general quality of Vizio is, though?
I've never... I mean, Vizio is up and down. They used to be the
they came in as like a low-cost
They came
provider.
In as the low-cost...
But
cost.
That's, that used to be a lot of what I would see in hotels.
Right, because they were low-cost, but they burned out easy. But I think as technology's gotten cheaper, they're just TVs now.
Yeah.
It's like...
They're kind of like the Kia or the Saturn of the TV.
I don't think they are.
Like,
I look
Kia's
at
changed
I think
quite a bit.
Kia or the Saturn would be like your Westinghouse and your. I think Vizio's a notch above those guys.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm saying
I feel like it would be like your Sony's and your Samsung's.
I'm saying they come in at the bottom and then progressively.
Yeah. I think they're kind
That's
of they're like middle range cheap
well, Saturn's
TVs.
Saturn's bad,
oh.
And they kind of go
like if you were to put a $700 Samsung versus a $700 Vizio versus a $700 like Westinghouse or you know what's the best buy brand.
Insignia.
Like, feature-wise, it would probably be more at the bottom end because that's a really expensive Insignia TV, and it's a decently expensive, you know, Vizio.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Samsung, that would be, like, their bottom end of the range.
Yeah.
I think Vizio aims at, like, Samsung's lower-end TVs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're not trying to get into your, like, crazy, you know, $1,500, $3,000, $4,000 TV range. So, I don't know, you know. But I just thought it was an interesting little thing to come out to see a company doing what we said would probably be one of the breakers, which is come in and put it at a reasonable price.
The price is definitely a huge deal for those.
Can I make a quick side note since Logan's Run came up?
What is your quick side note?
I found out some movie prop trivia the other day. The pistols that they use, which I can't remember the name of them right now. If
Scott?
I don't remember.
Was also used in a film that we saw that was awesome called Ultraviolet.
I saw Ultraviolet.
I forget...
You didn't like Ultraviolet?
The main bad guy, I don't remember his name. He had a gel pistol.
Yeah.
It's the same gun as what the
really?
Basil Exposition.
Basil Exposition. Yeah, he was.
Wow, those are interesting
pistols.
Sandman
pistol?
Yeah, the Sandman pistol. The DS Gun 2.
Interesting.
If you go to the Internet Movie Firearm Database.
What?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Yeah. Maybe
Internet Movie Firearm Database.
We breed crazy people.
Welcome to America.
The IMFDB.
We are obsessed with guns in America.
Crazy.
I watched Alien Resurrection the other day, and I was just curious because sometimes you can see what the gun what they're built
sure,
on.
Sure.
Like if you watch Aliens, you can see that the pulse rifle is built on a Fast 12 and like an M16 and then the
do you remember the talk we were having about guns the other day
and
Scott?
The smart gun is built on
MG42.
An MG42 and a Steadicam rig
yes
huh
what was your conversation on guns?
We'll talk about it later, we're gonna touch on it in the open thread.
Gun crazy
okay.
People
I guess I'm one of them.
Alright, do we need to take a break?
Yeah,
you guys
we'll
wanna you need a break
alright
we're gonna go to break real quick We should be back on. We're not gone again. I'll wait for the ads, because I think everybody probably just got them. That's for everybody in the room.
Data. Transferring data.
That's good. Yay!
We did it.
Alright, so we're kicking the first review off with a video. So here you go.
So, Crysis 2.
So, I obviously wasn't super impressed with it when I played it at PAX, but I'm not a huge shooter or gunner or Crysis fan.
Mm-hmm.
But then this guy told me that I might like it because it's a little more on the Halo-y side of shooters than it is on the Call of Duty.
Gears. I don't know if you had caught what I said when we were at lunch.
I wasn't
but
listening
it
to
is,
you.
To me, it's what Halo should be.
Right.
Because it makes you feel like you are actually something special and powerful.
We're not going to get into our Halo versus Gears talk yet. So.
I wasn't trying to go there. I'm just saying, for me,
right.
with the way the game plays out, it feels more like the way Halo should feel.
Okay. Okay.
That's my...
I get what you're saying. Because like, Master Chief doesn't necessarily feel like he's superpowered.
No, you just feel like you're skating on ice. And that's an engine thing.
You keep trying to go down this road, man. Yeah. I'm not going down this road right now.
No, it's an engine thing, because it's the same. I feel the same way about Half-Life 2, which I absolutely love that game.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
There's something about the abilities that you're granted with the suit that make it feel like you are powerful.
Okay.
So did you guys play the first Crysis?
I did.
Because I was a little confused by a game that...
You said it actually murdered your computer.
I was going to say, a game that is designed to run on no one's PC. Like, I was like, I'm never going to play this game, you know? Or I'll play it 10 years from now when it's like something I download to my iPhone 7 or something. You know.
Yeah, I did play the first one. The first one, I mean, did you play Far Cry?
I played the demo of Crysis, of the first Crysis game, and you just like run around the beach and kill a couple of guys, and I was just kind of like, all right.
Yeah, it's...
You know?
And
I didn't play Far Cry.
Far Cry and Crysis share a lot of similarities. They both take place on an island, and the only difference is the suit. But other than that, it's still like the sandbox type of thing where you have the choice to complete your mission how you want to.
Okay.
And that's what really draws me into it, because you're not, I don't want to use like the on rails term, but you're not being formed into doing a specific, like handling the mission a certain way.
Yeah. You can shoot it how you want, kind of in Halo or Gears or Half-Life.
Well, this you don't have.
But those are all on rails, essentially.
Yeah, this has, like, if you want to say, like, you know, like Call of Duty 4 is like this, where you have very little choice.
Right.
Yeah.
Crysis is more like this, where you have tons of choice. And, like, there's parts where I played through on Super Soldier, which is the hardest difficulty. And, like, there were parts
where... Have you already beaten the game?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
1 week, right? Is that how long it's been out?
Yeah.
You have, like, some...
I have nothing to do.
Super ability.
Yeah,
I can't sit and play...
That's what I do for a living. I either sit in an airplane or sit in
a... I sit at a computer for 12 hours a day. I can't sit and play video games for 15 hours at a time. I burn out, like, super quick. He knows. I'll play for, like, 3 hours with him, and I'm like, I'm done. I just don't want to touch my controller anymore.
I'm sure Aaron has noticed a definite, like, increase in, like, anger levels. But, yeah, what was I talking about?
So in terms of, just in terms of reviewing Crysis 2, graphically, it uses an engine called Crytek, which is developed specifically for
this
Crysis.
This isn't the original Crytek, though. This is the second.
This is
one, right?
Crytek version 2, 3.
Or 3,
yeah.
This is version 3 of Crytek. And the Crytek engine is, to me, does the most beautiful exteriors I've ever seen in a first-person shooter.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the level of detail on the exterior environments is fucking insane. It's like it's out of control. Like the buildings crumble, and you know the level of grit and detail to everything that's happening. Really, this is Crysis 3 Sanford. Yeah, God, get me out of here. But very beautiful looking game. The weapons have a good weight to them.
They're definitely better than
they have a really good weight to them. They don't feel quite as good, and they don't have quite as much pop as, like, the Call of Duty games. The designers of those games, and even Battlefield, I don't think they feel as good as the Battlefield games.
I think I think the alien weapons, like, I think a lot of the sound effects sound really good.
Yeah.
Just the weapons that you use kind of are lacking.
Yeah.
Maybe the heavy machine guns, the mounted ones, I think they sound pretty good.
Yeah, they do. I think it's the overall...
But that...
I can't... You know how well, like, when you just... You play a first-person shooter and the weapons just have a certain feel and weight to them.
Mm-hmm.
And some just, like, they click and you're just like, okay, this just this gun feels great and it just,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
I can, it, they feel a little bit off to me. But maybe it's because I haven't spent as much time with it as you. So,
well, I haven't spent that. I mean, I've just beaten the game. That's it.
Yes, and I have not. So.
But it's not
like
you probably played the same amount of time.
Yeah, probably.
Did you guys like? I'm like, oh, day and night.
Is this Is this just a single player? Is the campaign co-op or single player?
It's just single player.
Okay.
Single player campaign,
which
yeah.
is kind of unfortunate.
Wait, how does multiplayer work? Are there just many people with suits, nano suits?
Yeah, well, if you start getting into the story, there's a faction that's trying to create a mass produce the nano suits.
Yeah.
And basically, it's like the multiplayer.
And where did the nano suit come from originally? I never really played the first one, so.
It's been a while since I played it.
Is it like an alien thing? Or, I mean, what the
hell
is it?
I don't,
are there aliens?
I don't really
there's
to,
aliens.
Yeah, there's aliens. I don't know how much I'm going to say if.
Well,
since he hasn't finished it yet, but
honestly, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, you find out like the premise of the first game is it's like some kind of new military technology, but you find out later that it is incorporates alien technology.
Oh, okay,
so
okay.
They should have hinted that more in the demo because that probably would have.
Is the story based around the suit?
No,
okay.
It's more based around the aliens' occupation of Earth.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. About the suit, the suit is really the highlight of the game.
Yeah.
Like I said, the single player campaign so far, your character doesn't have much of a personality. You know what I mean? It's not like
the first game you talk. Your character talks.
Yeah,
it's kind of weird, and this has been kind of a departure from that.
Yeah.
And I know that the big thing with this game is they were going to try and write a better story.
Yeah.
The story is better. It's still a first person shooter story, but.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the abilities of the suit are really what kind of make this game stand apart.
Yeah.
Like, the suit comes pre-equipped with stealth, and you can do certain actions while in stealth. You can move throughout all the maps in stealth, and it's pretty much the exact stealth from Predator. It even makes the same fucking sound as Predator. Yeah.
Is there anything to upgrade as you progress through the game?
Yeah.
Or is it just like, oh, okay.
Can't you do the heat vision and all that stuff?
Yeah.
You can have, it's pretty much like you're playing the game as Predator.
You are Predator.
You're pretty much Predator.
But if you get caught into a firefight, then you can go from stealth to armor, and then you can take more damage that way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a management system, right? Isn't there, like, there's a charge to the suit, essentially?
Yeah, you can have a battery, and you can kind of toggle between your different abilities, and it drains your battery. So when your battery's at full, you're pretty much a badass. When it's empty, you're squishy as hell. You do have, you have heat vision, just like your Predator. Your suit talks to you, and it sounds like Dr. Claw. There was, like, a little clip of it in there.
The devil just
told
me.
Yeah, it's like
cloaked.
The devil. It's like, your armor's low. You're like, what the fuck? Oh, my God.
You better listen to him.
Yeah. But single player's been good so far. Like, I haven't, again, super busy week for me. I got it over the weekend. You said it was great. I should check it out. And it's getting, like, literally... Metacritic, it has all, like, over 90%. So I'm like, this has to be a good game.
There's,
you know?
I mean, I played Far Cry. I didn't play any of the console.
I played Far Cry on console, actually.
Which one was that?
The first one was on the regular Xbox, right?
I don't know.
Was that called, like, Far Cry Instincts, or is that the one that...
I thought it was just Far Cry. Was there more to it? I don't know.
I think the original
Patrick
one was just called
it.
Far Cry.
Yeah, it was just Far Cry.
But that, I don't think that made it to console, did?
Pretty sure
so. I thought it was just PC. I really like the way that they create more of a tactical shooter to me, and like you didn't do it too much when I was watching you play.
I just started doing.
But
it
when
later,
you start marking your targets and everything, and you can keep track of where they are, and you can think about how you want to dispatch your enemies. It's not quite as like just run in a room, kill 10 guys, and go on to the next room.
Mm-hmm.
You get
but
in
you
there,
can play that way.
You can.
Yeah.
No, not on Super.
I
Super.
Guess it was Far Cry Instincts.
Mm. Yeah, there's definitely one thing they do is you'll get to a scenario, like a part of the map, and it'll say tactical options available, and you'll pull up your heads-up display, and it'll have a bunch of different waypoints, and it'll be like stealth, like explosive barrels, and you'll have all these different choices on how you really want to tackle the scenario. So if you want to go through and be the Predator and take out each enemy one by one by sneaking up behind them, you can do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you want to bypass all your enemies and just get to the end of the waypoint, you can just stealth the whole way.
I did that a couple times.
Yeah. Or if you want to, like, go in and, like, literally kick an automobile like into a group of guys and get like a, you know, a bazooka out and just lay waste, you can do that too.
Based on, I mean, I'm sure these two things are nothing alike, but based on just the way you're talking about the game, it reminds me of Deus Ex. Or
yeah.
Deus Ex.
Yeah, it is similar to that, except you don't get like the way to talk your way out of things.
Yeah,
as I said, Deus Ex had a really heavy RPG element to it.
Yeah.
I mean, because you could, like, you could basically upgrade your character in that same
right.
way to go,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm going to run in and shoot everybody, or I'm just going to sneak around everybody.
Deus Ex reminded me of, like, a first-person, like, Shadowrun, though.
Yeah. I would agree with
that. Anyways.
I also really liked Invisible War, and I know that's, like, the redheaded stepchild of the series.
I played it, yeah.
I enjoyed that more
yeah.
than the first one. I don't know if it's just because I played the first
There's
one.
There's another one coming out.
PS2.
We've totally left this Crisis review. There's another
yeah.
Deus Ex coming
I know.
out.
I know. I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
Very soon.
I've had it on pre-order for a while.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And the other thing
I mean,
we did, real quick, was we did tackle the multiplayer today just so we could talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
We played in the same room on
Whoa.
2 360s. On two TVs.
You had the advantage then.
We did. Not to say that we did very well.
We didn't take advantage of the advantage.
No, we did pretty poorly. But I actually really liked the multiplayer. It reminded me... it reminded me a bit of Modern Warfare, but it actually, to me, it was more fluid, which is...
It does definitely have the same style of pacing.
Yeah.
As the Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
You die
faster.
Very quickly.
Yeah, it's
You
faster.
Die very, very quickly. You still get all your suit powers.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little understated, I think, in multiplayer. You're not quite as awesome.
Well, that goes into some of the story with regards to where the suits come from.
Okay, so there's a story as to why you suck now. But you can customize your kits. You can, you know, choose what weapons you use. You know, you get different upgrades, and there's a leveling system for the multiplayer. So it's pretty deep. I really liked it. The levels for the multiplayer were cool.
They,
I felt like they
you know,
were like
you brought it up, and I don't think I really had noticed how beautiful they do look. But you're right on that. It's,
yeah, when you're just running around like the rubble of New York City, it's pretty sick.
It's funny. Like a couple times, I think I died because I was like, there's the one map we were playing on. You walk up this ramp, and like the lighting works in a way that like as you're walking up, it's super super bright. But as you come up closer to the top, it starts to fade out, so
right.
you can
mm-hmm.
see everything a little bit better. I was just like, holy crap, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Like,
Did you ever play or like run through the tech demo, which is for Half-Life 2, like
the Lost,
whatever it is,
Coast or something like that,
with like the commentary on.
Uh-uh.
They actually talk you through some of that stuff, like that stuff that came out of Half-Life, and I'm sure works in Crysis the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Like the way that they use those techniques to create like ambiance in the game is
yeah.
really really fascinating. Like Lost Coast, I think is what it's called.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's. Yeah, it's been so long since I've done anything.
Like, things where it's,
too.
Like, where, like, you walk from, like, a cave to the outside, and then, like, it gets bright, and then, like, comes back to normal
yeah.
again. Like, that kind of stuff.
That's good stuff.
So, yeah, definitely Crysis 2, I'm enjoying it. Like, I haven't played a good first-person shooter in a while, so. Well, I played Bulletstorm. It was pretty good. I liked it. So pick it up.
I enjoyed it more out of Bulletstorm than you did.
I think you did. You played Bulletstorm.
This is a short campaign, though, right? How's this camp, like, I mean, is this campaign about the same?
9.5 hours is what it took me.
Because Bulletstorm,
so
I
a human, it would be like 14 to 15 hours.
Per human? I guess it depends on individual skills and what difficulty. But 9.5 is what I got out of the Super Soldier.
That was your Super Soldier run, was 9.5 hours.
That was my only playthrough.
So you sit down and you go, what's the hardest setting I can play it on?
Actually, this was kind of a coin toss. I sat down and Aaron was getting ready to leave for lunch. And I'm like, what difficulty should I play on? She's like, go for the hardest. I'm like, okay.
9.5 hours. Frustrating at all or no?
There were a couple parts,
yeah.
because there's a checkpoint system.
Okay.
And there were a couple parts
where it as hokey as the Halo 3 checkpoint system where you have to like... There's like 1 square inch of ground that you need to step on to set off a checkpoint.
No. It's not. I don't remember much from Halo 3 as far as the checkpoint system, but it's not that bad.
Yeah,
it's.
We were experiencing that.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's more like a line than
yeah,
cross that line. But there were a couple parts where later in the game, there's like commander grunt units that are really, really resilient to any kind of weapons fire, and then there's these heavy guys that are kind of like hunters from.
Okay.
Halo 3.
Yeah.
And I would have to face like 4 of them each. And I'm just like. And I get down to like the last guy and he would kill me. And I'd be like,
yeah.
Again.
And then
yeah.
your checkpoints.
And
yeah.
here we go.
So there were a couple parts like that, but.
Not too bad.
But if you play. like you're supposed to, like guerrilla style, then it shouldn't be that difficult. I mean, that's it's not the standard, like, run in and shoot everything.
Right.
So let me ask another question. This is like an EA game, right? So
yes.
DLC, random codes to enter, like, how much extra junk is going to be attached into this? Or is it just kind of like, here's
your
disc,
start playing?
You got
the same thing that I got. There's a limited edition that was supposed to be like a pre-order only thing, but...
It's usually like, if you buy it new when it...
bought it,
yeah.
So...
Yeah.
It was one code, and
you
it
can go get the
like,
limited edition, you know, Call of Duty Black Ops at Target for $30
yeah,
right now. Like
yeah.
They're so limited that you can get them at any point in time.
I think what they try to do with that is they try to get you to buy it new, like when it first comes out.
Yeah.
And then like that gives you the online pass or whatever they call it now.
There isn't an online pass with this, surprisingly.
Oh, really?
No. There's a limited edition code that gets you like 5 ranks of experience for multiplayer,
oh, cool.
A skin for a gun, and what, the hologram,
hologram attachment. Yeah.
I thought that was something else.
Yes, published by EA, not developed.
Correct.
From our friend at EA.
Yes.
But yeah, it doesn't.
It's all developed out by whoever makes Crytek.
Because, I mean, if it was developed by EA, it would fucking suck.
Oh.
What?
So it's not true.
I'm kidding. Kevin's like,
he's just not going to comment.
I know. He's like, whatever, Sibella.
Alright, so moving on. Are we talking about this next one?
You know, why don't you guys watch it this week?
Okay,
I'll send you the link. Watch it this week, and then I don't know if Matt's gonna like it. I think Scott might like it.
All right,
let's
what
do
about
that
me?
Because I think we can have a better.
You can watch it.
A more informed
conversation. I'll give
you the
secret link as well.
Scott, are you complaining about Battlefield Free to Play again?
Yeah,
especially
because I actually, played it this time.
So Scott finally played the game he bitched about last week.
Well, I mean, like, it confirmed everything that I thought was going to happen anyways, but...
Did you play this Battlefield Freedom Play?
I downloaded the client.
And then never...
But I haven't done anything with it, and that was just because I was trying to do something...
Do you think, not to sidetrack your review, do you think that that's sort of a negative to these free-to-play games, is that there's no real investment on your part? So
well,
it's like, you don't, like, if you, I could download 10 free games right now, if I don't play any of them, like...
I'm actually writing, like, a really lengthy thing about this right now, but, like, what I kind of distill this down to is to say that these free-to-play games are basically just demos, you know? Like, if you think about it, it's, like, limited functionality, you don't get everything that the... That you know you'd otherwise have to pay for. It's a demo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But there's some free games that we play, free to play games that we played. They're the freemium model where you buy
right.
things when you're playing.
But that's
that were like pretty massively full featured.
Yeah,
games.
But see, here's the thing: how many of those can you play at the same time?
Right,
and
yeah,
for
yeah.
how long?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
did you play Battlefield Heroes? At
yeah,
all?
Mm-hmm. But I mean, like it's pretty much the same model.
Yeah,
you know, like
yeah,
with but it's Battlefield 2, and I think like you said, people that are like follow the Battlefield series will realize that this game is just Battlefield 2 like in a web browser.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, this is probably a good way to get a new like type of gamer interested in Battlefield, but I mean
I probably won't be interested until 2142 comes for free.
Well yeah, I mean like why not, yeah, that was my other thing is like why not make a 2142 free to play, why not?
Well,
why not make a sequel to 2142? Like a lot of people
yeah.
like still play that game like on the PC, and that I think that game is like 8 or 9 years old, and
it's
awesome.
Be, yeah,
it's so good.
They need to bring Titan mode back somehow.
Yeah, I think everybody misses that Titan mode, but
they could do it with aircraft carriers or something in Bad Company.
Yeah,
Battlefield 3.
Yeah, there just needs to be like an assault, like a base assault kind of thing. Like
it was good.
It was awesome. Awesome mode. But anyways, like I mean, yeah, the game is good. Like
mm-hmm.
this is a good game, but again. It's, you know, like, if you've played Battlefield 2, you could continue to play Battlefield 2 and not really get a whole lot of new, like, experience out of this.
Does it have the same leveling? Like, do you unlock weapons or do you buy them through...
I think it's, like, you can buy them, because the same battle funds transfer. Like, if you had, like, 1,000 BF in Battlefield Heroes,
yeah.
and you log in to this other game, like, it's the same account.
Okay.
It pulls out the same purse or whatever.
Yeah.
So...
That's the stuff that drives me nuts with the way they're doing this game, so...
Yeah, but
some of the stuff is limited use,
right?
And that's the most irritating thing. Have you played the Company of Heroes online?
Oh no,
which is the same thing. But
yeah.
I was playing around with that the other day, and I
had canceled.
It was.
Yeah, it's done.
That's unfortunate because Company of Heroes is an awesome game. But
yeah,
I mean, at the same rate,
sad story.
Some of the units you would buy them, and you could only use them for 10 times.
Yeah,
and then you'd have to buy them again.
I the in this game, I briefly just went into the purchasing interface,
mm-hmm.
and I looked at a gun, and the gun actually had like four prices on it. And it was like 1 day, 7 days, 1 month, permanent. So you could actually permanently buy one of these weapons or whatever. But
what kind of cost is it?
I don't know how much battle funds cost, like,
yeah.
up front, but, like, I seem to remember that for a machine gun, it was, like, 650 points or whatever to have it permanently.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I mean, like I'm gonna, like I wrote in this article, it's, like, I'm starting to feel like if you're really gonna just get into one of these games and you like one and you pick one, like, just pick, like, a set amount of money you want to spend and just spend it and go, like, I'm gonna spend $20 on this game, and when it dries up, it'd be no different than me spending $20 on an Xbox game, and then just never playing it again. It's the same. I mean, I think if we change our mindset, like the way that we approach these kinds of games, like we can pick one and get more out of it instead of like just looking at 10 and going like, oh, everything has like a paid part, you know, like you really can't play 10 at the same time or enjoy 10.
Right, but I mean, in the same sense, you know, like New York Times just went to a pay model online.
Mm-hmm.
And the feedback is essentially people just read up to their limit, which is 20 articles a month, and then they just don't read New York Times.
Well, sure. I mean, but...
Like, and that's the majority of what happens to these freemium modes is, like, mm-hmm. well, how much of it is free? And then it's like... And to me, it's like, that's a top provider. Like, that is literally, like, one of the most respected news providers in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, oh, I'm gonna pay for news? That's insane! I'm not giving you $20 a month, you know? And, like... I think that it's the same thing with these freemium games. Some of them get made. Some of them look like that Firefall looks phenomenal, and it's like probably won't get. It'll generate some revenue, but it's not going to be, you know, WoW style revenue that's coming in.
But I think some of it is psychological. I mean, like, what's the difference between like offering the game for free and then you paying $20 later and then just selling the box on the shelf for $20 and being like, "We'll give you 1,000 points. You buy the box and jump in the game."
I'd rather buy it on the shelf.
Yeah, but see, like. Economically, there's no difference.
Yeah,
but
well,
mentally,
that's what I'm saying. Like the psychological side for me, I'd rather buy on a shelf than spend $20 of in-game points, whatever.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
So I don't know. It's just, I guess you just instead of
In the same sense, we all spend Microsoft points all the time on stuff.
Yeah,
but it's a little different.
I see a difference there
because.
Fake
like,
money still. We all joke about it. Nobody knows what a freaking dollar is in points.
Well, it's 80.
I know, but I'm saying, like, but it's a stupid-ass system
but
where
yeah,
it makes
yeah,
no
yeah.
sense to, like, why is it 80? What is the point of 80
to confuse
you? Other than
to
be confusing and
why.
Have leftover amounts
that's
when
why,
you're finished purchasing.
Leftover.
That's why. And
that's
it's
exactly
stupid.
Why, to have
it's
no, no,
absolutely
no.
stupid.
It makes perfect sense from their profitability.
Oh, yeah. Because
well,
if you have 20 points left over, like, if you have, like, say something's 560 points and you have 540... Then you have to spend $5 more to get what you
right,
want.
I understand.
And then
what
you have that
doing.
Weird amount again. It makes perfect sense.
It makes perfect sense to them. It makes no sense to any to a consumer. If they didn't have a lock on the online gaming, if PlayStation Network didn't blow compared to the Xbox Live, that system would get like knocked right out of the water. If PlayStation came in and said dollar for dollar,
it
like
is,
why would?
It is
but that's what I'm saying. Like, but PlayStation Network's not as solid as,
no,
as
it's
Xbox
not,
Live.
It's not nearly.
If you had equal products and one said, you know what, for every dollar you spend, it's a friggin' dollar. It just is a dollar. And the other one was like, you'll get 43 points for every 97 cents you spend. It's like one would just be like, I'm not gonna spend 90. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a stupid system. I just to me, it's fake money. It's the same system as me going to Dragon Age Legends and buying 64 crowns for $20 or whatever the hell the pricing scheme was. I was like, I looked at it and I'm like, who looks at this and goes like, yeah, that makes sense. Let's do math on that every time somebody buys something.
And that's what I keep going back to is that I spent money on that because I decided...
I almost did. I was like this... I was
see,
about this far from being like, fuck it, I just want to buy
but
something
like,
and like spending
if
some
I
money.
Think of it in terms of the amount of time that I spent playing that game, like for the amount of money that I spent on it, like... Compare that to something on the console. Like, I spent $60 on a console game, played for 8 hours, and never played again.
Yeah.
I played Dragon Age Legends, like, probably for, like, 30, 40 hours total, and I spent, like, 10, 20 bucks on it.
Yeah.
So, I like I said before, I bought that
it's
game.
Still, it's still a little too passive for me, and the reason I didn't spend money on it was because I still play it in like spurts. Mm-hmm. So it's like I'll play for 20 minutes and run out of time, and then I'll just go back to my castle, make a bunch of potions and bombs, and then
exactly
just wait for 8 hours to play it again.
But that's how I play too. But I literally log in every day.
I try to. I probably come pretty close to every day, but not literally.
And you guys have gotten me through some tough battles, so I appreciate that.
I feel like my character sucks in that, but
no,
your guy's good.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know how I.
You're good because you got the giant. Giant.
You can do
clover.
That row sweep. It's awesome.
Yeah. And then like you've got the firebomb, which none of the NPCs have like the.
I also can buff your weapons. I don't know if you saw
that.
Yeah,
I saw that one.
Yeah.
So you guys both have things that none of the NPC characters have. So I use you guys like all the time, like in like especially the critter battles.
I think all of my complaints from the beta of that game they wiped out.
They've been
They've been ironing all the bugs and kinks and stuff got well ironed out by the time the game was actually going.
So, anyways, not to go off on too much of a tangent, but I'm interested in this like business model. So I'm gonna finish up this article. I'll try and get it up the next couple of days.
I think the only thing that's psychological to me is the whole like if you don't make an initial investment, then what's the push to play? You know what I mean? Like, the moment a game annoys you, you're just going to never touch it.
Right, and what I'm arguing is like, just don't play them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's so much other shit to play in the world, like console games, flash games, handheld games, phone games. Like, if there's 10 free-to-play games and they're like, please spend money on us, like, spend money on them if you want to. Like, that's it, you know? Not all of them, maybe just one of them, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. But I think the point that I was trying to make more with what you were saying about the DLC, Matt,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or where I was arguing.
I just...
Sorry.
I was hoping somebody was looking at the doc that I just wrote inside of.
Oh.
Good. I'm listening.
With these microtransactions in these games where you buy a weapon for a specific period of time, and you can only use it for that period of time, that to me is different than if you spend $5 for
DLC. Yeah, I would totally agree.
That's where I'm like differentiating them.
I guess
what I'm saying is just that whole like the Xbox Live system is an in-game system to me. It's spending money that's not like you know.
And I agree. I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying about the point system. I understand where Microsoft is coming from. They're like, well, we can get more money out of people by doing this.
I totally agree with what you're saying because I actually wanted to spend money on Battlefield Heroes, and I never did because I noticed that everything was time limited.
Yeah.
So it's like I don't want to rent the weapons. I want to own them.
Well, I wanted to do that with the character clothing because you can make some really cool characters and make it truly individual. It's something that is your character.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wait a minute! In 5 days, this is going to stop being mine. I'm like, how does that? Why can't I?
And
just...
maybe that business model has changed since we played it last year. Like, it's too late. Like I feel like I can't. If I go back to that game, it's really going to be like, you know, like. I've already played it. I've moved on.
I was
like,
kind of disappointed when that was announced.
Should have been that way from the beginning. But I know at least in the Battlefield one, there are some weapons that you can own. They just cost more, obviously. But,
I always enjoy the unlocking things.
Well, we're going to kind of continue this conversation in the open thread. And it was the other... I saw you got rid of one of the open thread points. You didn't want to do the movie one.
I didn't delete it.
Oh, I don't see it anymore.
I didn't delete it either. But
where did it go? It's gone.
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, the other one was movies moving you, right?
Yeah, that's what it said.
Is that what you wrote, or you wrote?
I wrote that. Yeah.
All right, do we want to take a minute, or is everybody good to go? You want to go right through?
Good to go.
All right, let's just roll on through then.
We haven't done an open thread in a while.
I know, we're going to do our first open thread in quite a while. We've got 2 points, so each one of them we're going to kind of try and keep short so that we don't go too far on it, because it'll be like another 3-hour podcast.
Yeah.
So, so the first one, Ash, I'll go ahead and let you start. We'll take a break from games and then come back.
All right. The first one, the other day I was sitting around with some work friends, and we were talking about movies, and we were kind of surprised because both of us had been to the movies recently, and I spent like $22 to go see Source Code, and I think she spent
Did you go see Source Code?
I did. I saw Source Code. And she spent like $33 to see Sucker Punch in 3D, just for two people. And we were like sitting around, and I'm like, I honestly could not recall the last time I walked out of a movie and was blown away.
I can recall it.
Can you?
Yeah.
Well, that's what it's all about. My question was, have I become like
is this only movie theaters?
In the theater, yeah, yeah. Okay. In the theater. I mean, I've seen documentaries like Restrepo, I was like literally blown away, right. And a couple other docs.
I've just watched a lot more movies at home than I have out lately. So.
But the last time I honestly can't recall the last time I sat in the theater and was legitimately like moved. And then I was thinking, you know, the box office gross is down like 34% this year. And is it because, as a society, we're getting really used to having entertainment for like next to no money? You mean, yeah. We can watch like thousands of movies on Netflix for $10 or $15 a month.
Right.
And, you know, you can play a game and play it for hundreds of hours. And then they expect you to pay, you know, $12 and be there for 90 minutes. And you may see a piece of shit that you can't really walk out of. So it's like, well, you can, but then you're ripping
yourself
off.
You're just throwing money.
Yeah. Well, if you leave in the first half hour, you can usually get your money back.
Can you?
Yeah.
It sucks that bad.
I had to do that.
Yeah.
Had to?
No. I was actually on call for work.
Oh, yeah.
I went to see The Incredible Hulk with...
Edward Norton.
And I got called within the first half hour, and I just walked out. I'm like, hey, I gotta go to work. And they're like,
yeah.
Eh. So you can probably get out of it, get your money
back.
It's
crazy. But I'm curious, like, what movies have you guys seen in recent years, literally, that have actually impacted you?
Derek, you said you remember one.
28 Days Later.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, how long ago was that, though, theater? That's a good thing.
It was wild, but,
yeah.
I mean, still, that
yeah,
was
like,
I mean, I realize it's not the most recent,
sure,
but
sure.
That, to this day, still has quite an impact. I saw it with my friend Rob when I was living in Pennsylvania, and we walked around downtown Lancaster, like, all jacked up. For the zombie apocalypse for like 2 hours,
yeah,
just wandering around the city. So, talking about it,
I can think of like moments in movies where I was like, "Ha ha!" But like, maybe not a specific like,
yeah,
like maybe not a whole movie like front to back that I was like, "Yeah," like something like that. I mean, I can think of one. And it was like a million years ago, so I just don't remember anything recently.
See, I really get into. Like I said, I've watched a lot more movies at home lately, but it's budgetary reasons more than anything else. I love going to movie theaters.
Mm-hmm.
So even a shitty movie in a movie theater, I enjoy just because I like going. I like getting my popcorn and my soda. I know I'm getting ripped off. I'm well aware that I'm... But it's the same sense that I get when I go to a baseball game. Like, I don't necessarily love watching baseball on TV. I do sometimes, but it's not like my favorite thing ever. But going to a game is just like, it's an experience. It's a thing you get to
yeah.
go do.
Yeah.
And so it's like, to me, I think movie dollars are down because of what you said. I mean, Netflix literally broke the model. Netflix just destroyed every known entertainment model that existed. Netflix came in and was like, yeah, we're going to fuck all that up. We're going to give you $8 a month and you're going to watch whatever the fuck you feel like. And like that screwed everyone up because people are more content to be like, yeah, like, and I say it, I'm like, eh, it's a Netflix movie. Like,
well,
that's a $20, you know, that's a down the line I'll watch it when it comes out on DVD.
It kind of goes back to the TVs, too. I mean, you can get much bigger TVs
yeah.
now
yeah.
for lower costs than, I mean, you're.
But I don't, I mean, people have had big screen TVs.
Yeah, but it's more accessible to everyone.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah.
I mean, like, when I was growing up, my parents, I mean, we had, like, a 20-inch TV all my life.
We did
up.
Until I was 16, and, well, he knows this one, but my dad bought the, I had it for a long time in my house.
Projection.
The projection, 46-inch projection screen set.
Yeah.
It was, like, the biggest day of my dad's life, I think, buying that projection. It was, like, me, like, buying that TV, and then, like, me and my brother being born in his marriage. You know, like, it was, like, so
yeah.
that TV lived well above everything
nice.
Else. But,
yeah.
But I think the bigger screen TVs, you're going to have a better home movie experience is kind of affecting it more so than just Netflix
TikTok.
Itself.
Yeah. Well, no, I would agree. I think it's like a magical combination
yeah.
of many things
yeah.
coming together. But I still, like, I mean...
I wish I would have come out with Netflix.
God, I can't. Like, recent movies, I don't, I'm not...
You know, honestly,
with, like,
me thinking about it, like, you know, the ones that, like, literally, like, made my jaw hang on, like, Lord of the Rings, that trilogy.
Yeah, I mean,
seeing
that
in the theater was just, like...
But, I mean, even for as crappy as the story may have been, Avatar was a movie that we walked out of buzz.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I like
you know.
Avatar
James
a lot.
James Cameron does that, though.
Because
mm-hmm.
he's good at the epic.
He's
good at the like
the storytelling.
Yeah, like no matter how bad you walk out, you're like, wait, was that a ripoff of you know like
yeah.
like everybody said, was that Ferngully? Did I just watch Ferngully in 3D? You know, like, and you basically did, but it's like at the same time the movie was done so well that it just was, you know, it's just gorgeous to watch
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think that a movie that I have since watched on small screen and loved just as much, and I know that some people really hate this movie. I actually loved it. It impacted me, I remember, was Cloverfield, which we saw together. Mm-hmm. I saw that movie in the theater, and I don't know if only it's because I love New York, and I'm like, I know the landmarks, and I knew where they were, and I was like, holy shit, like, that was like, the way they shot it just really drew me in, that Blair Witch mm-hmm. kind of shooting. Yeah. That definitely, like, was, but I don't know about, like, it didn't make me, like, cry on the, like, while in the theater. If I had seen Toy Story 3, which I told you about this week, if I had seen that in the theater, I would have been bawling like a baby. And there's plenty of movies I've watched that, I guess that's what I was, the long point that I'm trying to get to, is that there's plenty of movies I have seen lately that are recent that move me a lot, but I saw them on my TV on Netflix. I didn't go see them in the theater.
Did you ever watch Casper Carr? Street Thief?
No.
We talked about it briefly on the website.
We did?
Yeah, because you were watching Exit Through the Gift Shop?
Yes.
Yeah, and...
Oh, yeah, you talked about it. Yeah, I haven't seen that one
yet,
though. No, I haven't seen that yet, though, no. And Exit Through a Gift Shop, that movie kind of pissed me off more than anything else. But, like, Social Network, I was blown away by that movie.
Really?
Yeah. The movie was fantastic.
I don't know what it is, but, you know, after spending
all
that money...
It's not a Facebook movie. You really have to get past that.
It's an Aaron Sorkin
movie. It's an Aaron Sorkin movie with David Fincher directing.
Did you see him on 30 Rock, by the way?
Yeah, it was awesome. Anyways, sorry.
I was just curious if you think that the trend is going to continue and you think movies are going to keep making less and less money. And if that's the case... what's going to have to happen is the budgets of these movies are going to have to drop and the whole entire system is going to have to change.
Well, I think that the American appetite for movies has to kind of change because the movies that win awards are not the, you know, Avatar and Lord of the Rings are probably the only two in the past however long that are $400 million budget movies that, you know, got Picture of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, usually the ones that win are smaller, you know, The Hurt Locker, which was made for, like, under, you know, $5 million for around all the time. Mm-hmm. It was really cheap.
The ones that have quality stories?
Yeah. But that's exactly it, though. But
I mean, not saying that, you know...
There's a ton of those movies. There's a ton of those movies that people make very cheaply and have fantastic stories. District 9 was made super cheap and was a really fun movie, you know, like... Mm-hmm. I think that's what
has
to change.
What? I think that might be the last one that I was moving
District
on.
9?
Yeah.
I don't know if it moved me, but I had a blast at the movie, you know, like I had fun watching it.
But I saw it 3 times in the theaters.
Did you really?
Yeah. Wow. I like, there's just something about it as far as...
It hit the right sci-fi nerve for you?
Yeah, it just hit the right sci-fi nerve for me, and just the design of everything. And that's a big thing for me in sci-fi, is the look.
I just think that this like, ever-ballooning budget, you know...
Mm.
But I mean, then the movie's Batman 3 is going to come out, and it's probably going to come close to beating what it made last time, which beat the total from the time before, which just got beat by Avatar. It's not like it feel like the movie industry likes to point out that they're making less money, and then, but it's like those movies that come out once every couple or 3 years that just skyrocket out of oblivion how much money they make.
And those event movies will always continue to do well, but you're seeing less and less of like the $30 million action movie.
Sure.
Like, you know what I mean? You don't see those anymore. Like, if you look at the box office now, they're all big, big, big films and then, like, small
but
indies.
We grew up in the age of the $30 million action
movie. Yes, we did.
And, like, 10 years before that was not... They weren't making Schwarzenegger and Stallone and all that didn't, you know...
Yeah.
Part of me misses that.
Oh, totally.
There's an article in EW I don't know if you read it, with Schwarzenegger. Yeah. They interview Schwarzenegger because he's done now.
What's he doing? Animated series?
He's doing a comic/animated series with Stan Lee called The Governator.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Which looks about as on par with everything Stan Lee has been doing lately, which is kind of hokey and
60s-ish.
It's aimed directly at kids. It's not aimed anywhere near our age group whatsoever.
Yeah.
But he's talked about reteaming with... which movie title was it? It might have been Terminator and Cameron.
You were going to say Twins.
No. He talks about Stallone and he talks about James Cameron. But the point he makes is that those movies aren't getting made anymore. Like those middle budget kind of just like action fun flicks.
Really
don't
I'm
get
still
made.
Waiting for the Running Man reboot where he's the bad guy.
Right.
You know,
that'd be great.
Yeah. And then
I don't think they're going to reboot Running Man. Sorry.
It'd be brilliant.
I think Total Recall is actually the next short. Actually, the movie they were talking about was True Lies. That's the sequel to True Lies.
It's weird to me to reboot a movie.
Dude, True Lies is awesome. You didn't like True Lies?
I mean, I did, yes, for the time, but
I like the part with the airplane.
Like where the machine gun rolls down the stairs.
I just feel like a Running Man reboot is not going to be the Running Man.
Well, I'm catering to myself. I want to see dystopian sci-fi.
You know, the thing is, though, who would be a good action hero now?
Actually, we're kind of wrong. Statham makes those 30 million Crank and the...
Did you see Crank 2?
Yeah, but he's the only one. I love Crank 2, dude.
Come on.
It was so bad. It was like a trauma film. I love it.
Yeah, it was.
How about Inglourious Basterds for you?
That was unique, though. No. That was very special for me.
But I'm saying, like...
Yeah, I mean,
you
that
talk
was
about movie theater experiences. Well, that was... You saw it at Comic-Con, but...
Oh, yeah, I was like, literally the first person in America to see the movie. So
right.
I was like... And then I had
but
to
I'm
wait
still saying,
since 4 in the morning.
If you had seen that... If you had spent $30 on that, would you have been less into the movie?
No. I mean, okay, well, yeah.
That's what
I mean,
I'm saying.
That,
like,
was, yeah,
movie
that,
experience-wise.
Absolutely, yeah. That was great. And, like, all the Tarantino movies, I love them dearly. So those all were special. But, you know, like, lately, in the past couple of years, even, like, the big event, the summer movies, I'm just kind of like...
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because I'm, like, getting jaded, but I'm just, like, kind of shrug my shoulders and, like, what the fuck? Like,
I think the source material's kind of...
Dried up?
Yeah.
I think it's not dried up. I think there's a break between who's making who's financing and paying for the movies and who's coming up with the creative content.
Yeah.
And they've got to come out with that cheap indie film first that blows everyone away, and then they give that guy $50 million to go make a movie. Like it's just those people aren't. I think maybe in the past it was easier to get into Hollywood, not easy to get into Hollywood, but easier to get into Hollywood and have somebody give you a small amount of money to go make a movie. Because you had to, because that was the only way you could make movies back in the day. And now it's like, I can go buy a $1,500 camera and make a movie if I want to. Like, it's not that incredible of an idea to go to.
I was watching some really bad sci-fi movies on Netflix.
Yeah, that's fine.
And I don't know if you've ever seen them, the Recon 2022, something like that.
No.
If you get a chance and you're really bored, watch that. Check out the production value. Within the first 5 minutes of the movie, you actually see breasts.
Oh,
so it shocked both Aaron and I when we were like, "Oh, wait!" And then there's another one called
Star Slammer,
Hunter Prey.
Star Slammer.
I may have had that in my instant queue.
Which
Star
one?
Star Slammer.
It's a fantastic movie.
Star Slammer.
I watched that one.
Watch it front to back.
And then I started watching this other one called Hunter Prey, just because
I've seen that one in the.
But if you actually go into the movie, other than the fact that the acting is subpar than what you're used to seeing in Hollywood films, I was just looking at the production value of what they had done for the armor that the guys are wearing, and it's amazing looking.
Yeah.
It's absolutely amazing.
It's not as good as Time Barbarians.
Time Barbarians is
the armor in that movie.
The most quality movie I've ever seen.
Starring Nitro from American Gladiators.
No, Malibu.
Oh, it's Malibu. That's right.
Malibu.
Yeah.
Is this on Instant Watch?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was. It still is. I don't know why
they'll never leave.
I think there's one VHS copy floating around somewhere.
It looks like
not
VHS
beta?
Quality.
Yeah. It. Yeah. I mean, I don't... I think the talent's there. I could see what you're... Okay, so, what I would compare it to is, me with music. I worked in a venue, and I worked at a record store, and there was a point, and we were playing, and, there was a time period, which very recently, that I didn't even, I listened to talk radio. I never put music on. I was so burned out on it. I just didn't even care. I didn't want to listen to anything new.
Yeah.
I hate all the new stuff that's coming out, which is pretty generally true. I mean, there's some things that are great, but a lot of it I'm just like, ugh.
It's depressing to me.
And I went a week ago and saw my high school band that I loved, Sebado, play at the Social. And it was it just reignited everything in music for me. I was like, oh my god, I literally, Melissa, she made the joke at lunch, I think, but I sat there with like the goofiest, stupidest grin on my face.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, rocking out to, you know, the band I loved when I was 16.
Yeah.
And, like, turning around and being, like, motioning to her. She never listened to the damn band, but motioning to her, like, oh, they're playing that song! And, like yes! You know, like,
yeah.
I was so into it. And maybe that's, maybe you need to be reinvigorated. You need that movie that's gonna,
yeah.
that's gonna push you back into, because you, you know, we don't talk about it a lot. You talk more about games, but you went to film school. You graduated. You've made some movies of your own.
Pornos. No, I'm just kidding. Not ours. But no, yeah.
I started one of them.
You know what I mean, though? Like, sometimes it just, something needs to reignite
like
that.
Like, oversaturation. That's what you're saying. And, like, I don't know what it is, but what really got me thinking about this is, as ridiculous as it is, and I told you guys about this, is, like, when I watched the season finale of The Clone Wars the other week, there was a scene.
Don't spoil
it. I'm not going to spoil anything, but something happened, and I literally had tears in my eyes.
Yeah.
And I looked over at Christina, and she was, like, kind of, like, laughing at me.
Yeah.
And I was, like, just like you were talking about seeing Sebado, I was so incredibly happy and excited. I was, like, beaming, like, I was, like, watching my TV and just, like, staring at it. Like, I haven't done that in a movie, and I don't even know how long.
Sure.
And I don't know why that is.
Sure.
You know, a lot of movies, Lord of the Rings, The Matrix, movies like that I saw that, like, you get that cathartic feeling and the hair stands up in your arms.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen often enough, and I don't know why. So that was just kind of
Matrix
like,
was that movie I was talking about from like a million years
Matrix,
ago.
Matrix, man.
Dude.
Did we see it together?
No, I saw The Matrix with Rob when we were coming out here to look at colleges.
Yeah,
We talked about it for both 2 hours all the way home. We just talked about The Matrix.
Yeah.
When Rage Against the Machine came on, because that's the credit music.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We were all sitting in the theater, and that came on. I just remember there was like 10 of us, and we all just looked at each other like, holy shit.
It just flies away at the end.
Like,
right?
You're like, what the fuck did
I
just watch? Like, that was the
most
I
saw that with Micah before Micah could drive.
Before they started dating?
Yeah, before Derek and Micah's, I was living in Tampa, and Micah's mom drove him up to Tampa to stay with me for the weekend so we could, like, play Ultima or something. And we saw that in the theater together, and he was a little fucking runt of a kid. And same thing. I didn't even know what the movie was about.
Right.
It was like, it wasn't, that movie didn't have any press. I don't know if you guys remember.
No.
But there wasn't any like,
well,
you have to see this. And then it came out and it was just like word of mouth. It fucking exploded.
And the Wachowski?
Yeah, Wachowski.
Wachowski brothers were like, they were nobody at that point.
Yeah,
right?
They had done like Bound.
Yeah, yeah. They had done like, you know, which is a good movie, but like, they hadn't done anything that was like, made them who they are now, which is like, you know, untouchable, except for the fact that the other two Matrix movies blew.
Did you say both of them?
I didn't like either one.
Okay.
Did you like one of them?
No, I enjoyed the first one a great deal. If this is going to be three movies,
I feel like the second one was like, all right. And then the third one, I was just like, you're just peeing on the trilogy now. Like, you're just doing nothing positive.
Yeah.
I still have not seen two or three again.
Oh,
I saw them in the theaters. Because I was like super excited and I've never seen
I don't remember if it's two or three. I'm pretty sure it's three. There's a scene where they're underground with
rave?
A drum circle and they're all dancing.
I think that's the second one.
That's the second,
one.
Yeah.
That was pretty much where I was like, and I'm done
and
with this
like
movie series.
It's like the first 5 minutes of the movie.
I know,
too.
It was like, that
literally
happened. That happened and I just was like, yeah, I'm pretty much finished with The Matrix now. I think this just ended it.
I actually just watched all three of them in
Succession?
Succession
really?
Last summer when I went home.
Wow.
My mom's the reason why I'm into movies, because she was into it when I was growing up, so she'll watch trilogies in sequence like that. And
that's cool.
So
Melissa and I did Lord of the Rings when we lived in Tampa. It was brutal.
14 hours, right?
Brutal, dude. The extended versions. I have all the extended versions. We watched all the extended versions all the way through.
At one point, I had like three copies of
it. Oh, dude, it was awesome and totally brutal at the same time.
There is a reason why movies are 2 hours.
We watched the trilogy one Martin Luther King Day, and we said it was...
Go ahead. We all know how your Martin Luther King is.
It was Lord of the Bling, Return of the King. And we watched
that. You themed your own day, just the two of you.
You had a party, didn't you? A
couple people. We don't want to get into what the details of the party.
Oh, you don't want to talk about...
No, we don't want to talk about what we ate and what we drank at the party. But it was a very specific themed Martin Luther King / Lord of the Rings party.
Interesting.
It was good.
All right. What's up?
Oh, we're gonna move on. I mean,
you've got a point you want to make.
I was just gonna keep dragging this out.
I'm not the only one.
Well, the other one's kind of related, and maybe inversely, on my side, I had this conversation, I think, with Kevin a little bit last night. We talked about it online the other day, and I think even we talked about it at lunch. It's just been bothering me lately. Like, I am way oversaturated with shooters. That's part of the reason I didn't really even care about Crysis. I just was like, really? Like, unless you're going to do something amazing with the shooter genre, I just don't care anymore. It's like the same freaking three games that come out over and over again. It's the can't jump, has a cover system, can jump, and it's really, like, ridiculous. You know, like, it's just, like, there's just, like, there's no, it's never,
dolphin diving,
you know, and, like, I know I'm boiling them down, obviously, to very minute parts.
You're familiar with that Battlefield 2 tactic, right?
But is then, it, like, jumping?
You jump and go prone.
Yeah.
And, like, you, as you're jumping and you go prone, you get super accurate, and you're harder to hit.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, and then there's the, but then there's the ultra-realistic, the Call of Duties, and even some of the Battlefields, which is, like, another.
I don't know if I'd call them ultra-realistic. They're pretty, well, they're Michael Bay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, as realistic as, you know, a fat nerd holding a gun running around shooting people.
Die,
yeah, yeah, like,
you don't have a force field.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A more realistic version of a shooter.
So you actually wear your body armor instead of being projected.
But then, on top of that, with the rare, and I think this is what we were talking about, with the rare exception of, you know, your Mass Effect or your Dragon Age, I guess, like the BioWare titles, like, everybody wants to argue games are art and games are this and that. But do games really have narrative? I mean, I know they have stories, but are there really deep narrative games other than your really rare, which we focus on them here because we love them so much, but we honestly are talking about, like, four games when we say that. Like, like, it's not, like, a ton of games that do these super deep narratives. And I'm kind of burning out on it. I really am getting tired of this, like, surface-level, like, shitty-written characters, like... We can fight Halo 3 in gear, or not Halo 3, I will never defend Halo 3. No. We can fight Halo universe versus Gears universe till we're blue in the face, but in the reality, they're all surface characters with, like, I mean, come on, dude. The Gears, just listen, no, seriously.
I'm listening.
The Gears characters, like...
I'm just sitting here listening.
The Gears characters are so cartoonishly, like, stereotypical as to who they are, you know, like... They're big brosif marine dudes. That's an Epic game, though. As Epic does that with a lot of their games, which is like these big fucking, you know, balls out dudes. Like, and they're like, I don't.
The only thing they didn't do that with was Shadow Complex.
Sure.
What Bitfrost just said. What I was also going to say was Heavy Rain.
Heavy Rain. So that's. But I feel like those are such the minority. But we focus on them.
But
so
that's.
Heavily.
I mean, that's why I play those games, though. Like. Heavy Rain, and that's why I had such a boner for Alan Wake. Because
are we gonna hit a saturation point of this, like, are we headed the way of movies, or even are we headed the way of movies, or even, yeah, but those games are old now. Now we're talking about old games. But are we headed the way of movies or even music, where we're gonna saturate the market with these freaking, you know, Call of Duty, every friggin' year we're gonna pump out a Call of Duty, every year we're gonna pump out a Battlefield, every year, like, every year there are gonna be some kind of Halo or Gears title, like, these titles are just, like, jammed out, and I feel like I'm just not caring anymore.
What's interesting is that,
like, Fallout 3 came out,
and say yes.
Fallout 3 came out, I wasn't excited about, I was excited about New Vegas, but obviously not super excited, I don't own it. The reason I wasn't super excited, because there wasn't that much of a break between the two games, like, I felt like the excitement for Fallout 3 was because I hadn't played Fallout in fucking 10 years. Yeah. I was like, please give me Fallout 3, you know? Mm-hmm. And then they just basically took the same system, put it in a new setting, and then sent it on its way. And I'm like, I don't know.
They added more to it that makes it fun and fresh feeling.
They didn't advertise it to me. They advertised another Fallout game in a new setting.
Yeah, well, yeah. So, like, but the companion system's a lot better, and the,
right.
the weapons and the modifications. Although,
but again,
they aren't as... free as I would have liked them to be.
But again, we're talking about play mechanics
and
not story, not deep narrative, not anything like that.
Well, I think a lot of the problem that we're running into is everyone wants to make a sandbox game.
Yeah. I'm not into open world.
I mean, as much as I do enjoy open world games,
mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes there's a point where I think I was talking to you about Fallout New Vegas. Maybe I was talking to Micah about it, but I just start wandering around because I'm like, I want to see what's over here. And then, like, I would play part of the story out of sequence.
Yes.
And I'd be like, what is going on?
That's
I have no idea.
That's the trade-off. There's, like, a fragile balance between, like, putting the user like on the rail and then like letting them do whatever they want, but then like the narrative kind of falls apart
mm-hmm.
because you don't experience it.
But then there's games like, you know, Red Dead, which
yeah, but you hated Mexico. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but I hated Mexico because that's what Rockstar does in every game, which is like, here's an awesome setting, here's another awesome setting, but you have to stay there for at least 74 hours before we're going to... Like,
yeah.
They just dragged it out. I mean, the narrative was still awesome, the game was still awesome.
Sure.
They just, like... I couldn't imagine... And I think part of the reason I hated it is because I couldn't imagine being...
John Marston.
And having two guys, the whole time you're in Mexico, two guys... tell you, like, oh, I'll tell you in a minute.
Yeah.
Like, no, go do this thing for me first. Eventually, John Marston's just going to shoot the fucker.
Yeah.
Like, he's just going to be like,
yeah.
And I'm done. Dead, moving on. Like, I'll find the guy on my own. You know, like,
yeah.
And that's what annoyed me with Red Dead. That wasn't a story issue. It was, like, Rockstar just trying to suck another 10 hours out of the game. For
sure.
No reason.
I mean, I think those games do exist, but, like, you know, for the reasons that you mentioned, like, a lot of these other games, like, get more exposure because they... I guess maybe they cater to a broader audience, you know? Like, I don't...
Well, like, he made the point, like, Crysis 2 is a better story for a shooter. Like, there was, like, a subtitle under your... There's a better story for a genre that generally has crappy stories.
Yeah. Well,
like,
I think the Modern Warfare ones are... I enjoy that story. Like, the series of that. Because, I mean, it's like a whole world turmoil thing. And,
yeah.
Like,
there may not be a lot of people playing Call of Duty for the story.
I don't think there are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
The focus of those games is definitely the gameplay. That's the key.
Black Ops had a pretty good story.
And you know, yeah.
Okay.
You know what happens
that.
When you try to put, like, what I consider to be a pretty decent story into a shooter? You get Medal of Honor, which, like, nobody played. But, like, I thought Medal of Honor was pretty good because I do military research. And I thought, like, that was pretty... spot on, you know?
Yeah, well, as far as I know, it was based on a real action.
And, like, the action in that game wasn't great because there
was
more...
So
because the
like,
narrative, you know...
But it was
so intense
when you actually got into it. Like,
yeah.
I played through the entire game. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Yeah.
I wish it would have been longer.
Right.
But at the same rate, I feel like it was probably more emotionally intensive.
Yes.
And it's like, I don't know if I could have actually handled a longer game.
Yes.
The last time I felt like that with the Call of Duty series was Call of Duty 2.
Right.
In Call of Duty 2, it was like, I'd run around, I played it on PC, and I had, like, the stereo loud and everything, and, like, I'd run around the corner, like, MG42! And, like,
you'd hide.
Like,
I remember
hide.
Hiding
just,
in that game.
Yeah, and it was just like,
yeah,
I've never been in a war situation, but
yeah.
I can imagine,
but
it's like, when you hear those four things...
You just kind of made
together.
The point with Medal of Honor, which was that, like, I was going to say, is that, like, military movies, if we were talking about movies, which I think is probably the closest relation you can get to a game, military movies, to me, the best ones are the ones that aren't action all the way. I mean, when you think about the ones that are, like, that scarred me as a kid, which would be, like, Full Metal Jacket or, like, you know... Apocalypse Now or Deer Hunter or whatever, like, those movies are not about the combat necessarily. They're about, like, the people
side.
And the
yeah.
psychological side of war
yeah.
and what war does to you,
yeah.
you know? And, like, that's what I feel like. Like, Call of Duty, I mean, hop on to multiplayer and listen, those people are not being affected by this game. They're just, like, they're running around and enjoying it, which is fine. I'm not taking away from enjoying a game.
Yeah.
I just... To me, it's weird. I'm feeling the same way, which is why I thought it was weird that you brought up the movie thing. I'm feeling the same way where I'm, like, longing for the games I played when I was 15, you know. I have not had a game experience like I had when I played Metal Gear Solid 2, or 1, and 2.
2.
No, not 2. 3. 1 and 3, where the 2 was the weird one where there was, like, a bunch of vampire characters or whatever, right?
2 is the one where you played as Raiden or Raiden.
Right, yeah, yeah. So 1, especially 1. I played 1
the
like 7 times.
The only part that I
enjoyed
in that was the comedy when he was naked.
Right.
He'd run around.
Or like Deus Ex, which he brought up. Or the first time I played Half-Life, which was a lot more recently. But those games that, they were all, those are all 10-year-old games now,
yeah.
plus, you know, 10, 15-year-old games. And like, I'm starting to like want that again. I'm starting to want to go back and play Chrono Trigger again. I'm starting to want, like, I'm feeling like that's what I
want
to do now because I'm just
you
burnt
have,
out
like,
on this.
You
like,
want, like, these emotional attachments.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
like
everything is, like, how gorgeous can you make it? And then, like, Scott and I were joking, and I know you guys are into guns, so it makes more sense when you talk
I
about it.
I actually own one now.
Right. But Scott and I were joking, like, I don't give a shit what the gun feels like. It doesn't... I have no sense of, like... Oh, this gun feels real versus it's just a gun in a game to me. Like, it doesn't do anything for
me. More the immersion in it?
I've never shot a gun. It's not going to matter to me. Like,
I
can't
know
what
I say,
that,
like, how
you,
it feels. I've never, yeah, I shot, used to shoot with my dad and stuff, but it's not how it feels,
no,
like, in terms of the realism. It's just how, it's more of a gameplay issue. Like, does the gun, like, react
when you,
right, you know.
But, like, and I understand why you guys feel that way, and you guys play a lot more shooters than I do, so it would make sense that you see that, you know, that you notice that kind of thing. But to me, a gun is a gun is a gun. Like, I've never played a shooter and been like, well, this gun feels a lot better to me. Like, it's just, they're just guns. Like, I don't, like, they don't do anything for
me. I was kind of thinking
about... Even within, like, what was the last Halo that you really thoroughly enjoyed? The first
Reach.
One? Reach?
Reach was, I loved Reach.
Okay. Were there certain weapons that you would choose to use over others?
I mean,
yeah.
Sure.
Why?
Because it has scope.
Okay.
I mean, like, to me, every weapon I picked up in Halo, like, all kind of had the same weight, other than the ones that physically limited your movement, you know what I mean? But, like...
But I would say the same thing in Gears, I'd say the same thing in Call of Duty.
Well,
I tend to lean towards a scope. That's like what I like to see
for
down
some,
the line when
for
I
some
shoot.
Games, I feel
Gears
like...
Gears is a terrible example for gun weight, though. I mean, that's...
I mean, they have different feelings to them.
50 rounds... Well, it's the characteristics of how it fires,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but it's like 50 rounds of kill one thing.
Right.
And, yeah, I mean, that drives me nuts. But.
Yeah.
I feel like for some games, though, like, if it's done right, you don't notice the guns. You know what I mean? Like, if the designer did their job correctly, it's a part of the game, and you're not,
mm-hmm.
like... It doesn't get in your way, you know?
You played Black, right?
Yeah, I did.
I only briefly touched upon that. That was supposed to be really
gun heavy
as far
yeah.
as
yeah, no,
the
Black
field.
Was good.
Wasn't that the cover with
like
nothing but bullets
end,
on the
yeah.
front of it?
It was the very end of Xboxes.
Yeah.
You know,
I know it's available for download. And I thought
that was supposed to be like one of the first games where like you could destroy terrain and the buildings would crumble. And like back
mm-hmm.
then, that was like, what?
Yeah, Black was pretty good.
Red Faction
I mean,
did that.
Do you feel... Is this...
No, I see what you're saying.
Oh
yeah,
God.
I see what you're saying. I think
did you play that on PC?
It's interesting. I can't really explain. Like, if you ever play a bad shooter and you look down the reticle of the gun and you're like, and you fire it and you switch guns and you're like, oh, these guns just feel like shit. Like, it just the gun visibly doesn't look right. It doesn't fire right. It doesn't
okay.
sound right. It's a mixture of all those elements.
I can see that because then it's
reacts.
Bad. Like
yeah.
then you're noticing it because
mm-hmm.
like Scott said, then it's in your way all
yeah,
of a sudden.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, like, beyond that, like, have you felt the way you felt when you watched Star Wars?
About games?
About a games, other than the one that we focus on all the time, which is, like,
Mass Effect?
Or
Dragon
Age. Like, if we remove BioWare from the situation, which is, like, obviously they're pumping out pretty much the best
yeah,
story games.
There have been a number of games that
Mass
I've really,
Effect
really liked over the past
Dragon
few
Age.
Years.
Yeah.
We already talked about Valkyria Chronicles. I really like that a lot.
See, I think I would like that, and that's a game that I feel like when I watched you play it, I was like, this makes me feel like I was playing in 96
yeah,
on my Genesis.
Did you ever play Final Fantasy Tactics?
Yeah.
It's similar to that, but
yeah.
I was
a huge Shining Force geek,
yeah.
so, yeah.
Shining Force 2?
Oh, best game ever.
Yeah, it's good. What other games that I really, really like in recent years?
Like, we're talking in terms of, like, I guess, narrative and, like...
Mine is, yeah, I think
building, like, these,
and...
like, relationships with characters, like...
I think this is kind of a weird one, but I really enjoyed Bad Company.
Really?
The first one.
Did you?
Okay.
I mean, it was kind of a remake of Kelly's Heroes. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie.
No.
But it's essentially the same story where a bunch of guys decide to go off.
It sounded like Three Kings to me, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's similar to that, yeah.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed it. I thought the characters were done well, and...
You kind of cared for them.
I can't remember your name in it, but you actually... Preston. Something like that. You actually kind of take place as it, so you're not the silent protagonist.
I guess, you know, I don't think it's not happening. I just wonder if I'm hitting the point where it's just like, I need that kick from a game that I'm just not getting right now. And I don't know what...
Like,
I mean,
your needs
as a gamer
are not being served right now, I guess.
I will say, you know, Star Wars The Old Republic that we played at PAX and Fear 3 that we played at PAX made me have fun again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like... And Borks Must Die. Those three games that I played made me actually, like, laugh and have fun while I was playing and get excited. But those were also, we're talking about 15-minute snippets of a game that when played at 12 hours at a time, may make me want to shoot myself.
I was moved emotionally by Red Dead Redemption a few different times.
Yeah.
Entering Mexico.
Yeah.
I think you and I had a similar experience.
Jesus, that was... Our mayor standing up in Mexico... Riding home, music kicks in to meet your family. When you're
yes.
like, holy crap, I did it. That was great. And then, of course, you know.
The
end. Yeah, that
the end soured me. I just.
It soured me, but it soured me a lot. Which
the only
is
thing
like
that I didn't
you know,
like about the end is if you decide to play anything after the story.
It's weird.
Oh, it's stupid.
It's,
when you're the kid and you're like.
I mean, his vocal, his sound
I just,
is annoying.
It's, it, we've, and we, I don't know if we ever did, actually. We've never talked Red Dead. That was when we were going to do, and we never did it. Where, to me, that the ending of that game should have been the beginning of Red Dead 2.
Mm.
I would have been... That would have had so much more impact on me
yeah.
if I had been able to go home, be with my family, continue the game, finish out whatever I wanted to finish.
And then the credits roll.
Feel like credits roll yeah. and be like, and just be like, holy shit, like, you know, I would have been so like,
I
fulfilled
did it. Yeah.
and awesome feeling. And then when I started up 2, if all the guys showed up at my house all of a sudden and fucking killed me immediately, I would have been like... I would have been just, I would have been blown away. And instead, I felt like Rockstar was like, hey, thanks for doing all that work. You're dead.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Like, what the fuck?
But like Ash said, like, it still evoked an
emotion. Yeah, it evoked an emotion.
Which is
frustration and anger.
Yeah.
The rest of the game, though, was gorgeous. I mean, that game, when I entered Mexico, I, like, wanted to cry. That was, like, unbelievable going into Mexico the first time.
Yeah, and I know you guys aren't big Rockstar fans, but, GTA 4 is one game that I marathon played for like 50 hours.
I just can't.
And
I
hated it. Well, I loved it. I loved it. I loved it.
The emotion it elicited was hate.
No, I loved it and hated it at the same time because everybody in that game, all the people you interacted with, were
so,
all such scumbags.
It
just
depressing.
Felt like you were like living the life of a fucking douche for like 50 hours. But then, like, it was just. You just. Felt dirty playing that game. You know what I mean? Like, your hero is not a hero. Like,
no,
you're a bad guy.
Definitely an anti-hero.
Yeah,
he's
not even
best.
A good anti-hero.
I would
so
say
like,
the same thing for Bully, which I've recommended to you guys
yeah,
in the
yeah,
past
so
like, many times.
Yeah. Rockstar's
like,
good at that.
The kid is a bully, and he is a jerk, but then, like, he gets put in these situations where he's like, oh, man, I gotta, like, do the right thing, and he's just like, oh, you know?
I feel like Red Dead, the reason I latched onto Red Dead, though, and I can't to Grand Theft Auto or to Bully,
much more likable
it was the character and the setting. Like, mm-hmm. I just don't care about Grand Theft. I've tried.
Dialogue.
I've played probably, I think, 2 of them, and the one I got the furthest through was Vice City, and even that one, it hits that rock star point that I talked about in Red Dead, where it's just like,
the lull.
And now we're going to stretch it out for 10 hours. And you're like,
yeah.
I don't want this. I hate this. Like, just end this part of the game. Let me move to the next. I know there's another awesome part after this. Just let me get to it. You
make
know?
Sure this Mexican girl gets to the ferry on time.
Yeah, and you're like, what am I doing?
Do you remember that one?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Man.
She's yelling.
But
the
I don't know.
Yeah,
time.
She's yelling the whole time when you're in the carriage.
It's like, okay.
That doesn't really drive
part,
very well.
I think part of this came up because we were playing, we started Gears 2
mm-hmm.
and co-oping, and which is miles above playing it single player.
Because cool.
I played it single player, I hit the point in the very beginning where you're on the truck trying to shoot the shit that they're firing at you, and I died like 433 times, and I just was like, hey, I hate this game again, and turned it off, and then Scott was like, well, co-op.
I did that on hardcore.
And that part, I was playing hardcore by myself, and I died immediately, like over and over and over
and over
again. I was just
going back to the...
I know. Well, you've gotten
for
better
a
than
human
me at that
to
stuff.
Play.
We're having a great...
But Scott and I played,
lots
and
of fun playing it right
now we're having a lot more fun because
cool.
it's beatable. But at the same time, we were talking about it, and I just was like, it just feels, like, thin. I just don't feel like I'm playing anything. I feel like I'm, like, it's just, to me, it's just, like, the story is nothing but a reason to throw people at me.
But I think what you and I are going to get out of that game is a social activity.
Right.
You know, as opposed
but
to playing
same,
Red Dead for, like, a narrative.
I mean, the reason I loved Reach was because we played it co-oping through. It's not like, and it's, I'm not singling Gears over any other, like,
I probably wouldn't
want to
play Reach if we all...
Reach was a lot of fun.
I mean, I would like to play. I don't want to play it by myself, but that's the thing.
Yeah, you'll hate it.
Yeah,
but it's the same thing where it was like the story is nothing but a reason for them to throw 100 aliens at me. Like it has nothing. There's no like, you know, we played through 3. By the end of it, I'm like, what the fuck are we watching right now? I was like, I'm on the Halo, and then you fly up here, and there's a religious guy that you shoot, and I'm like, I don't even know what we're doing anymore.
We got lost.
So, but I don't know. It just
I feel so bad then.
I'm starting to feel a little.
Nobody understands Halo.
What?
Yeah.
No, I mean, the story is whatever. But
I have a funny story to tell before we wrap up. Like, I got Halo 2 on, like, Halo 2, they sold it on PC for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought it, like, on clearance at Best Buy. And I was like, I kind of want to know what's going on. So I went on YouTube and I watched all of the cutscenes from Halo 1. It took me, like, a half an hour. And when I finished, I was just like, what just, and I started playing Halo 2 and I was like, okay, I'm out. I don't know what's going on. I'm just going to start shooting
still
the guys.
Doesn't make any sense?
Yeah. But I enjoyed it. I had fun. It was a blast, you know? But
I think the story, our friend Adam, who's also a big Halo fan with me, we're talking about Halo and we were joking because it was like, the story of Halo is always good until the Flood gets introduced. And then you're like, what the fuck am I, like, why is Half-Life in this game all of a sudden? Like, it's always like, they're like, oh, it makes sense. There's a group of aliens who want to destroy you, so they're going out to the thing that's in the sky that older aliens built that can destroy planets. And you're like, oh, okay, like, I can latch onto that one. That makes sense. Then, like, and then there's this thing that shows up for no reason, and it just, many of them come and they kill things. And you're like, what? And then they're like, and then three started, and they're like, and now one of the aliens has a religion that he started, and he hates the other aliens.
Don't forget the gorilla guys. Here come the gorilla guys.
He's like, his guardians are the gorilla guys, you know, and he also hates those aliens, and he hates you. And then those things came back, and you're like, what am I playing? This is the stupidest bullshit.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, I think the best way to sum it up is that, like, there are a lot of psychologists and new media PhDs who like to make a living on exploring the various reasons why people play video games.
Right.
So, like, suffice to say that there are many reasons why people play video games, and unfortunately, narrative is only one of those reasons.
Yeah.
So, like, other games rise to the surface that have different purposes for playing them, whether it be, like, social aspects or role-playing or, like, even, like, getting online and shooting people.
I feel
is
like you're
social.
Giving us a moral right now.
No, I'm just kind of, like, I'm trying to get a little science-y for
right,
a moment.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, and because video games are now sort of rising into pop culture or are pop culture now, like, there are just many outlets, and the word game itself, like, takes on many different meanings. So it's not like a singular, like, Nintendo cartridge goes in the machine, you play through 11 levels.
You blow it first.
Yeah, you blow on it first. Like, there's just a lot of different stuff that constitutes, like, video games now, and it pulls in a lot of different people for different reasons.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, it's unfortunate that, like, we can't just, like, put bullet points on games that are just like, play this game if you like stories.
If you're a fan of Jimmy Eat World.
Yeah. Like, yeah. No. Like, Thursday and Taking Back Sunday.
Anything that involves shooting a gun, you can just, you know.
Yeah,
like Call of Duty.
You like prostitution.
Yeah.
Like, we shouldn't just make up our own game rating system.
Do you like using the N-word and belittling others?
I love Call of Duty Black Ops.
Yeah, see, and like, again,
I
want to
play this game because that's black.
And see, again, game like taxonomies and game classifications is also another big realm of quote-unquote research. You know? So it's like,
I think maybe it's just we're spoiled, too, because there are a lot of narrative games that come out. Like, Fallout was good. I don't know if the narrative was great in Fallout, but it's good.
Hmm.
You know, Mass Effect, Dragon Age, and all that kind of stuff. I just feel like, you know, I don't know. There's just no spark right now for me in games.
I mean,
I'm just playing because I'm playing.
Fallout was fun.
Yeah.
I had a blast. The story
when you get to the end of Fallout 3, you're just kind of like, yeah.
Here's the problem that I have with that in, like, New Vegas, is, like, if you could quantify the story, and, like, this is the entire game. The story takes up, like, that much.
Yeah,
the
side
missions are the rest.
Oh,
the rest
of it
is you just living your life, right?
Yeah,
out in the wasteland.
Which has always been Fallout, though. But, I mean, Fallout,
which
I heard was better in New Vegas, minus the bugs, was that Fallout also had, like, a huge political thing in 1 and 2. Like factions and things and tribes. And 3 was just kind of, like, kind of, they hinted at the fact that there were some people that you could join
up with. A game
up
like Fallout, I just kind of view as an MMO that, without the middle M. It's just massively online, single player. You know, like, it's a MMO you play by yourself.
It's an MMORPG.
It's an MMORPG.
But that harkens back to the RPGs of old days.
Yeah,
where you can sit down and play
a
story. I enjoyed that portion of it.
Who knows? There's the awkward end of
our
open thread.
Like, most open threads, we just beat him to death.
A lot of narrative. Movies, games. Hopefully, we all get our sparks back.
Let's talk about stuff next week, too.
Let's do it.
Like The Matrix.
Sure.
Let's talk about it.
I'm just saying.
Let's save something to talk about.
No, I made a very general statement, like, let's talk again next week.
About serious things.
As if we had something planned already. But you just kind of, like, shattered the illusion that
Oh.
We were
there
ready
is something on the notes.
So. Yeah, there's two things that we skipped that we're going to talk about next week.
All right, well, there you go.
You and I are going to take part in them before we talk about it. All right, well, we'll be back next week with some talk about... I mean, I'll preview it. We're going to talk about Workaholics, the new show on Comedy Central, and some new DLC for Assassin's Creed, and probably a lot of other things. And then maybe we'll do another open thread because it was fun.
Indeed.
You're welcome to come back. Now you're not. Come on back. Yeah. All right, thanks, everybody. This is us with the podcast. We're out.
See ya.